Good morning, and welcome to the first quarter 2024 Gentera's conference call. Now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Barrera, Investor Relations Officer of the company. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good day to everyone. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Mayos, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. Enrique Mayos and Mario Langarica will present Gentera's results for the first quarter 2024 as per the report that was issued yesterday. And Patricio Diez de Bonilla, along with Enrique and Mario, will actively participate in the Q&A session of this conference call. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. If you did not receive a copy of the release, or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Mayos for his presentation. Enrique, please, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. It is always exciting to have our call, and especially when we have good news to communicate. So let's get started. And let me start by saying that once again, we are proud to report another quarter on target. And let me point out that in Gentera, we have now accumulated 11 quarters of continuous portfolio growth. In fact, after the pandemic, fourth quarter 2020 was the first quarter that we reported profits again. And since then, quarter by quarter, we have been growing and improving our business results. We have consistently seen customers and portfolio growth with a high quality in our portfolio, as well as outstanding retention rates and customer satisfaction. So let me summarize the main highlights of today's report. First of all, let me point out that looking at Gentera's first quarter results, we can say we are successfully targeting our guidance for this year. Gentera's portfolio grew over 20% in a yearly basis, reaching 65.5 billion pesos. Once again, a historic figure, which, as I already pointed out, is in line with our guidance. We also reached 5,270,000 people served as of the end of the first quarter. This is not only a record number, but it represents a net growth of 177,000 clients in only 3 months, and 18% or 813,000 new people served in a yearly basis. We continue improving our efficiency. Net income after provisions grew 18.3%, while our operating expenses grew only 13.3%. So we continue operating with a close expense control policy and towards more efficiency. Net income grew 13.7% compared with the first quarter 2023. And our ROE is over 21%. And NPLs and cost of risk remain outstanding. This is very relevant since it is the only way to maintain this positive result sustainable for the long run. NPLs stands at 3.5% and cost of risk closed at 10.7%, which is below the 11 to 11.5% we guided for the present year. Now, let me point out some relevant results in our main subsidiaries. As we already communicated in our call in February, In January, Banco Compartamos in Mexico reached the 3 million customers. This is a very relevant milestone for us, not only because of the business results and perspective, but also because of the social impact that we continue generating. As a consequence, Banco Compartamos' portfolio growth was outstanding with a 29% growth in a yearly basis. In ConCrédito, since the second half of last year, we maintain a solid, healthy, and sustainable growth. Portfolio annual growth was over 20%, and NPLs is now in historic low levels, reaching 1.6% compared with the 2.26% that we had last quarter. In Peru, compared with the first quarter 2023, we grew 25% in clients and 13% in portfolio if we take local currency. NPL stood at 4.6%, and we are confident that we will be able to improve the portfolio quality in the following months in Peru. And I also want to point out the increasing relevance of the microinsurance business in Gentera. As you remember, last year we reported that the insurance business represented 6 to 7% of Gentera's total income in 2022. This figure continues to increase, and by the end of 2023, this number was already 9%. This is relevant not only from a business perspective, but also and especially because of the social impact we generate. Today, we are selling 50 million insurance policies annually, which is clearly an impressive figure. And this year, we started allocating 16 million insurance policies in the first quarter of the year. Now, my last remark regarding our business operations has to do with the use of data and digital technology. These elements continue to contribute and foster our business results. So let me give you one specific example on this. As you remember, last year, we increased our operating expenses after increasing our loan officers' sales force due to the opportunity that we identified to address a growing credit demand in Mexico. After 1 year now, and as it was expected, we are capturing the benefit and value of this investment. Productivity levels of our loan officers in Banco Compartamos are in the higher levels ever, even considering that last year we increased our sales force by more than 1,500 new loan officers. Crédito Grupal methodology productivity increased 6% since December 2022, and Crédito Individual productivity increased by 8%. Productivity levels in Financiera Compartamos in Peru also improved around 10% in the last year. And in ConCrédito, we also had solid productivity. We maintained the same level of productivity than 1 year ago, even when in the last 12 months, we increased the group of asesoras, our sales force, by more than 20%. We expect to continue increasing our productivity levels in each of our subsidiaries along of the rest of the year. As you can see, technology and digital transformation will continue to provide our customers a more convenient set of products and services, and at the same time, Gentera's efficiencies will also improve across the organization. Now, before finishing my remarks, let me talk about some recent changes in our board member composition and also tell you about the dividend payout for the year. We are very happy to welcome two new board members in Gentera and our new statutory auditor in Gentera. Mercedes Araoz Fernandez and Cristian Laúd Benavides are both members of our board in Peru. And as of this quarter, they will be also participating in Gentera's board. We believe that the experience of both of them will bring a lot of value considering the increasing relevance of Financieras Compartamos in Gentera and the potential growth that we still see in the Peruvian market. On the other hand, Manuel Gutierrez García, our statutory auditor, is leaving our board after more than 20 years of valuable and relevant contribution. Along these years, Manuel has contributed to build Gentera's best practices in terms of corporate governance. We are profoundly grateful to Manuel, and we wish him the best on his new personal and professional projects. Therefore, Alfonso Lebrija Guiot is joining Gentera's board, taking the role of Manuel. We welcome Alfonso, and we are sure he will give continuity to Manuel's contribution. And regarding Gentera's dividend payout, in our last shareholders meeting, a 40% dividend payment was approved in two installments. The first one, the first payment, will be on May 14th, and the second one will be paid on November 29th. Well, let me now pass the call to Mario Langarica, and afterwards, as usual, Patricio, Mario, and I will be here to answer any question you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Enrique, and good day to everyone. As always, we appreciate your interest in Gentera. As Enrique signaled in his remarks, we're very excited with the solid results that Gentera achieved in the first quarter of year 2024, and are very excited with the strong dynamics that we're expecting for the rest of the year. Before we enter into the specific financial data, we want to emphasize the success of our decision to increase our sales force and to upgrade our infrastructure to capture the market opportunity that we saw early in 2023 to grow our clients, our portfolio, and our business. These actions allowed us to reach a record of 5,279,000 people using our financial services, breaking another record in our loan portfolio, maintaining healthy asset quality. As you can see in our first Q24 results, Gentera generated a historic loan portfolio about 65.5 billion pesos, growing 20.6% compared to first Q23. It's important to note that our credit subsidiaries, Banco Compartamos, Compartamos Financiera, and ConCredito, show all double-digit growth in their specific loan portfolios. These dynamics lay solid foundations to keep growing as expected for the rest of the year. Now, let me jump to talk about the evolution of different lines in our income statement. As anticipated in previous calls, the growth in our interest income and our margins has materialized following the growth in clients and in our portfolio. Interest income grew 24.9% versus first Q23, reaching 9.3 billion pesos. Net interest income grew 19.4% to amount 7.5 billion pesos. Consequently, NIM amounted to 39.4 this quarter, in line with our expectations for the year. Another excellent result for the start of the year is that even after the strong growth that we have experienced in our loan portfolio, Gentera's cumulative cost of risk amounted to 10.7, which is better than our expected level for the year. NPLs at the end of first Q24 stood at 3.57, which is a very good level, better than first Q23, and in line with our objective range between 3.5 and 4 for the year. We're growing strongly, maintaining sound asset quality. Provisions for loan losses for first Q24 amounted to 1.75 billion pesos, 23.1 higher than last year's quarter, mostly explained by our portfolio growth. Compared to 4Q23, we observed a 16.5 contraction in this item. This was mainly driven by a lower than expected impact in our portfolio related to Hurricane Otis. As anticipated in our last conference call, we are glad to confirm better than expected recovery in the economic situation of our clients that allow us to generate better collections. Also related to Otis, we decided to write off in advance 36 million pesos while still maintaining 24 million pesos in additional reserves. Net interest income after provisions grew 18.3% compared to first Q 23, implying a NIM after provisions of 30.3. During the year, we expect to maintain NIM after provisions around that level. Net fees grew 25% compared to first Q 23 to amount 878 million pesos, mostly related to our insurance business. The incremental use of Yastas and Banco Compartamos branches also benefited Gentera, depending less on third-party channels and reducing fee expenses in relative terms. Operational expenses for first Q24 amounted to 4.5 billion pesos, representing a 13.3% growth compared to first Q23. Most of this growth comes from our larger sales force and upgraded infrastructure. As explained before, other very relevant components of the expense line are the strategic initiatives and investments that we have been developing and implementing to make our operation more productive, more efficient, and modern. As mentioned before, the positive effects of these efforts have already started to flow to our revenues and expenses lines, generating again a virtuous trend of positive jaws that we plan to keep going forward. Net income for first Q24 amounted to 1.508 billion pesos, representing the second largest quarter result in our history. Gentera's controlling participation of net income amounted to 1.412 billion pesos, representing an EPS of 0.88 pesos for the quarter, a 10.3 increase compared to first Q23. Gentera's controlling ROE reached 21.4%, and our largest subsidiary, Banco Compartamos, posted a return on equity of 34.1%. With this solid start of the year, we reinforce our view that for 2024, Gentera's controlling ROE should be around 20.5. All of these maintaining solid and healthy liquidity levels, strong and diverse access to funding sources, and robust capitalization levels. That is all for my remarks. Thank you all for your attention, and now we can move forward to the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Olavo Arthizo with UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking my questions. And I have a very quick question about Peru, because the bank as a whole, it presented a good ROE recovery and a good rebound, thinking about the performance from the last quarter. So the consolidated ROE could have been even higher if it wasn't for the performance in Peru. Basically, the ROE there showed some weaker performance, believe it here, given high provisions, and it basically decreased back to 13% levels. So just please, any color here would be great to understand what happened. And also if you could share your thoughts on the outlook we should work for Peru, it would be great. You just mentioned it a few minutes ago about a positive outlook for Peru, but if you could give us some color what is going on over there, it would be great. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. How are you? This is Patricio. In regards to Peru, as you have seen, the entire context, not only for the microfinance industry, but the entire financial industry, it's facing some operational difficulties. Last year, we had certain affections from climate events and social demonstrations that affected the portfolio. And today, even though the economy for Peru is expected to grow, and we are seeing dynamism in customer growth, The reality is that there are some pressures on the NPLs for not only Compartamos Financiera, but the entire industry. So there are certain, not concerns, but actions that we are taking in order to maintain asset quality under control. As you have seen, NPLs for the Peruvian operation are still picking up, even though we have taken actions, bold actions this April, that we expect to normalize the asset quality by the third quarter of this year. So with that, we have exceeded provisioning, and this is why the ROE for this operation has decreased this quarter. But we are expecting this to pick up for the year end, and this should normalize and meet the guidance for ROE that Mario just talked about. So going forward, we're still seeing in Peru a huge opportunity. The penetration of the financial system remains low. As you remember, we are growing very fast in customers in the group lending methodologies. So the prospectus for the Peruvian operation are still to grow, but we will continue monitoring the asset quality to be able to grow with a positive portfolio asset quality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, Carlos, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario. Congratulations in your results, and thanks for taking my questions. My first question will be on NIMS. I would like to hear what is the level of interest rates that you're expecting for Mexico this year? And considering your assumption, would it be reasonable to expect stable NIMS this year? And how should we think, for example, in terms of the NII growth, considering that the loan book is expanding roughly at 20%, you think it could be kind of growing at the same pace? And then my second question is on other income. We noticed it was affected by non-recurring impact related to the insurance business. So can you give us some color on what was behind the impact or the size of the impact, and how should we expect for this line going forward? And the last question is on your digital transformation. If you can provide us an update on the timeline of your digital investments, what would be the next steps? And can you anticipate us part of your pilot projects within the core business, but also in terms of just us with Concredito? Thank you.
Hola, Ernesto. How are you? Thank you very much for your questions. Yeah, well, the levels of interest rate that we're expecting for the rest of the year are around, for Mexico, around 10%. We are seeing a little slowdown in the velocity of the reduction of rates from the central bank, but that doesn't affect at all our expectations for the end of the year, given that our interest income is growing faster and our risk is well controlled. So we maintain our expected levels for NIMs of 40% and 30% for the rest of the year. Regarding other income, probably you remember last year in the first quarter we had a non-recurrent extra insurance income, and now what has happened, and it's just because of the quarterly cut, is that we have a negative effect on that line. We expect that for the rest of the year, that will be more than compensated with the commercial cash-in, cash-out flows that we have with the insurance company. So for that line, you should expect an average level of around 200 million pesos for the year. So that is just a quarterly effect. It should be more than compensated for the rest of the year.
Hi, Ernesto. How are you? This is Enrique. And let me give you a little bit of color and update around our digital transformation process, as you asked. As we have explained before, we feel very proud about what we are doing, not only in Mexico, but also in Peru and in Concredito. I can tell you that in Peru, we have already 100% of our operation running on a digital platform that allows the loan officer to be more efficient, and that's one of the reasons why we can see now we have better efficiencies and productivities there. So this is happening in Peru since last year. Also in Mexico, 2024 is the year of testing and deploying a very similar digital platform to operate our end-to-end credit process. First of all, we're going to do it in the credit individual side, but we are at the same time also running everything to deploy this in the Crédito Grupal. But also, and maybe this is one of the things that you might be looking at in our results since last year, the use of data science and digital technology is already giving us benefits in all our subsidiaries. And the benefit that you can see is basically in two things. The first one is we have better risk assessment capabilities, and that's one of the reasons why you have been looking at improving our NPLs and cost of risk. And the other thing is we have better cross-selling capabilities. So in some way, a lot of what we are doing in terms of growing our business, increasing our customer base, is because, and also, of course, the portfolio, is because the cross-selling capabilities that the digital technologies are providing us. So that's an overview on what we are doing, and we can expect that, as I was saying in my remarks, that along the year, we are going to continue capturing the benefits of these tools that are all along across the organization.
And Ernesto, one question that I didn't answer was if we expect that the financial margin and financial margin after provision should keep growing at the same pace as the growth in the portfolio, the answer is yes.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. Thank you very much. And just to follow up on this digital transformation, just wondering, I know that you are like testing and doing pilot projects with a corresponding banking network from Just Us and Concredito. We are seeing something similar from other type of competitors like FEMSA with Oxos and trying something with Spin, and at some point we'll start to lend through the OXXO. So considering that you also have kind of the same structure and relationships even in lower income segments of the population, what will be your strategy ahead of competitors?
Thank you, Ernesto. This is Patricio. And the reality is that when we talk about the digital world and digital economy, you need to first transform the physical cash into digital tools, right? So first you need to have the products available. This is something that we already have. And secondly, you need to have the infrastructure to conveniently locate it in order for customers to deposit cash into the different products that we offer. So Just Us play a key role in such journey, in the way that our customers go and deposit cash into our debit cards. They are starting to use such debit cards via their mobile apps and also making transfers and using the payments through these tools. And the reality is that once you have that money converted into digital tools, you can start analyzing data, as Enrique said, and trying to understand the dynamics, not only the credit worthiness of the customers, but the transactional information of them in order to develop products and to cross-sell and tap into opportunities for further relationship with the user. So again, the reality is that Yastas plays here a key role into not only financial inclusion, but digital inclusion. And this is a path that we think that we have a competitive advantage because Yastas in the the network is in the last mile where convenience stores are difficult, it's difficult to be located.
No, excellent. Thank you very much, Pato.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Our next question comes from the line of Tito Labarta with Goldman Sachs. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call and taking my question. A couple questions also. There was a slight increase in your funding costs in Mexico. Just want to understand a little bit kind of what drove that and how do you expect that to evolve throughout the year, particularly if rates maybe stay higher for longer or when you expect rates to come down. So how do you see the funding costs in Mexico specifically? And then second question, just on the loan growth, I mean, you know, loan growth pretty healthy, slightly above the guidance you gave for the year of 18 to 20% despite the weakness in Peru. How sustainable is this, not just for this year, but maybe beyond this year? Could there be some upside risk to that guidance you gave on the loan growth for this year also? Just want to see how you're thinking about the sustainability of the loan growth. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tito. Well, regarding the funding cost, the most important increase comes from the growth of the portfolio. But in relative terms, as rates keep going down and with the recent decreases in the rates in Mexico and Peru, in relative terms, the cost of funding should keep improving going forward. Remember that the cost of funds or the interest expenses represents only 13.6% of interest income. So it should be improving for the rest of the year at the pace that the central banks keep reducing rates.
And in terms of portfolio growth, Tito, we've been very vocal about the size of the market, not only in Mexico, but also in Peru. Financial inclusion remains an opportunity in both countries. And in spite of a large market, we've been dealing with weak competitors due to financial and operational difficulties. So we realize that there's a large market to be served in the sense of a weaker competitive landscape. And this is why last year we decided to do the investments in infrastructure in both countries, not only our footprint, but also the team required to tap into this opportunity. So we are heading towards our portfolio guidance this year, and we should expect also a double-digit growth, I guess, for 2025. So still a large market that we are serving well, and we expect to do so in the coming years as well.
Okay, no, that's very clear. Maybe just want to follow up on that front. I mean, you talked a little bit about the digital initiatives, but are you seeing any competition from fintechs as more and more begin to get relevant in Mexico?
Of course, the fintech world is very dynamic. There are new entrants with very aggressive methodologies. The reality is that there are certain overlap with customers, but the reality is that when you talk about the lower incomes segments in both countries, we are not seeing such a dynamic activity in the fintech landscape. So again, we think that yes, there's competition, but the reality is that we think that we are very well positioned, not only financially, but with the product offering that we have in order to tap the opportunity that I just described.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Patricio, and thanks, Mario.
Thank you, Tito.
Our next question comes from the line of Yuri Fernandez with J.P. Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hey all, good morning, and congrats for the quarter. I have a question regarding your group lending in Mexico. I recall you start consolidating Comerciante and Mujer maybe in the beginning of 2023, and I guess now you had many groups in the first, second, or third cycle. So my question here is, how is that strategy behaving? Are you seeing any, you know, signs of asset quality for the good or for the bad? Are you being able to improve the efficiency? Because I guess the big plan behind this, like, was to make the loan officers more productive. So if you can share how is your impressions on this, and if you believe this can drive, you know, more efficiency gains. I guess your efficiency ratio today is 67%. Group lending is super important in Mexico. So what should we think about your total efficiency ratio evolving going forward? And then I can ask a second question regarding ConCrédito. Very quickly, just what drove the decrease on NPLs there? I think it's down like 70 bps quarter over quarter. So if you can provide a little bit of color on ConCrédito, if it is sustainable, where you see the NPLs of that unit evolving, I guess it also helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Yuri. And this is an excellent question. We started the transformation and the evolution of Crédito, of group lending methodologies, like a couple of years in 2021, I guess. And we started trying to have some flexibility features into the product. Smaller groups, different tenors, men and women. And the reality is that the pilot that we have that we had in 10 offices, we are still monitoring this pilot. It's progressing every time. We are seeing good asset quality in the pilot, more productivity. No, and our sales reps in the pilot have over 400 customers per loan officer with good asset quality, so it helps for the top line as well as reduce the cost of serving those. And the reality is that this transformation had different aims. The first one was to have a better customer satisfaction. No, greater flexibility, smaller groups it's something that it's easier for the customer to deal with. So this is why last year we were able to grow as fast as we did in customers, given the fact that we have a more flexible product. So that's something that it's working well. The second piece was to maintain asset quality under control. So we started to using data in order to analyze each individual within a group in order to create smaller but healthier groups. And this is something that it's going well, since the asset quality of the pilot is progressing, and as I said, doing better every quarter. And finally, to be more efficient, and as I said, the reality is that we had two sales reps, one for Crédito Mujer, one for Crédito Comerciante, and now we have one single team for group lending, and this is the one that is having higher productivities than the mean for the bank. So having said that, again, we deployed this at the fourth quarter of 2023. We are starting renewing those customers in this first semester of 2024, and so far, so good. We are feeling comfortable with the progression of such transformation, and this is part of the evolution of our group lending methodologies that maintain Compartamos as the best practice for this product. I wouldn't say in Mexico, but elsewhere as well.
Hi, Yuri. This is Enrique. Moving to your question on ConCrédito, yes, we are really happy with the results that we are obtaining on ConCrédito's business. As you remember, last year we had some troubles after growth phase in which we needed then to control the growth that we had in the past. So, yeah, the team really focused on this. Our goal is and will be always to grow with quality, and that was the strategy that we follow. So I can tell you that, yes, this improvement in our NPLs has to do basically with three things. The first one, and I already mentioned it in the last question, the use of better data and business intelligence. The algorithms, the tools, the risk assessment tools that we have developed in our risk areas, not only in ConCrédito, but also joining now the risk team in Gentera, have done a very, very impressive job. So that's why we have a better way to address the risk and to address new customers. The second reason why we are dropping down the NPLs from 2.2% in the last quarter to 1.6% this quarter is that the growth that we had in empresarios last year is now maturing. What I mean is that when you capture new empresarias, they go into a cycle in which they need to go through a learning curve and mature, and now we are looking at this group of empresarias maturing and having better results. And of course, the third reason is the experience and discipline of our team to manage the traditional cycle of growing and controlling. So yeah, we are happy about this, but most importantly, we believe this is giving us solid foundations to continue with this trend to the future.
Well, super clear. Just making sure, so the improvement is mostly driven by ConCrédito per se, right? It's not like credit and product. I think ConCrédito is much more relevant for the total, but just checking that this is where you're seeing, you know, like the improvements coming from.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, no, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Brian Morton with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I was hoping you could give us a little bit more color on the trends within deposit growth, particularly in the on-demand deposits within Compartamos. And if you continue to grow deposits at this rate, at what point would you expect to see an improvement in the funding costs? Thanks.
Thank you for your question. And yes, we've been dealing with deposits for a long time now. The reality is that the strategy that we are following is that most of our customers now receive their loans in debit cards. These debit cards are being widely used, and with this transactional information, they're starting to make deposits into these accounts, which has grown the balance. Again, the reality is that it represents less than 10% of our funding. So today, it's not something that really benefit the cost of funds line, but eventually, as the customers grow, as deposits become relevant in their day-to-day operation, potentially we can see certain benefit in cost of funds. But the reality is that we are more focused in cross-sell opportunities and maintain customers for longer periods of time with Compartamos rather than today have an aggressive deposit in terms of volumes strategy that we are following. So the reality is that you should expect balances to grow in line with customers, and it will represent, again, between 8, as it is now, and 12% of our deposit base for this year, and this shouldn't be a potential huge benefit for the cost of funds of the bank.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, press star 1 at this time for any questions. Our next question comes from the line of Carlos Gomez-Lopez with HSBC. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, good morning. Two questions from me. The first one refers to Peru. Right now, the loan portfolio is around 29% of the total. It is also true that the Mexican peso has appreciated versus the Peruvian sol. In the long run, how large do you think Peru can be in your total portfolio? I mean, at some point it was almost 40% of your business. Where do you think it's going to be, let's say, 5-6 years from now? The second is about the guidance. I mean, we look at the results for the quarter, which obviously are very strong, and yet Peru was still relatively weak. You had this extraordinary item in the insurance segment that you mentioned. So if you take those out, I mean, as mentioned earlier, the results could have been even higher. So it seems to me, if we analyze this, that you are on track to perhaps exceed your guidance right now of 3.5 to 3.6 pesos per share. Should we expect that in future quarters we're going to have other effects, let's say expenses or something else? Or is this a correct interpretation that you are ahead of the guidance that you have set for yourself? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I will jump into the Peruvian question. The reality is, yes, Peru has become very relevant. As you remember, we bought Financiera Crear in 2011 with 85,000 customers, and now we serve over a million. And the market there, it's large enough to think in doubling this metric in terms of customers for the coming year. So Peru is becoming every time more relevant. As you said, today it is 1/4 of our loan portfolio. But Mexico is still growing fast. No, as you can see, Mexico outpaced the growth of Peru in this quarter, in last year, and the reality is you should expect that Peru become like 30-35% of Gentera's portfolio in the coming years. But the reality is that the bulk of what we do will remain in Mexico.
And Carlos, regarding our guidance, as we mentioned, the growth that we're seeing at the portfolio and the good behavior of the margins, and the good behavior of risk obviously show very, very positive trends. But if you look at this quarter, our expenses grew lower than our guidance for the year. So we expect that we have positive wins, but also we should be looking at some negative flows. One thing that will be slower is the reduction on interest rates, as I've mentioned before, and the other one would be additional increases in expenses that we expect, mostly related to our strategic initiatives. So what I can tell you is that at this point we think that we are closer to the high end of the guidance, but still within the guidance.
Very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlos. Welcome, Carlos.
With no questions in queue, the question and answer session concludes. I will now hand the call over to management of the company for final remarks.
Thank you, and thank you all for your interest and your trust and support for Gentera's team. As you can see, and this is reflected in our results, we have been working with a clear strategy in the past couple of years, and we have a clear strategy for this year. We have a very strong team, and we also have a very strong operational discipline and methodology that give us a solid foundations for the opportunities and challenges that we will face ahead. So we feel very happy and comfortable with this. We are capturing the opportunities that the market is offering, so that's something that we will continue focusing in. And we are having also at the same time the oxygen to continue transforming our business towards the new technologies with two main goals, and we always repeat this. The goal has to be, in the first place, to be more convenient for our customers, and on the second place, to be more efficient in our operations. So we are excited about what we will accomplish in the future. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for your trust and support. And see you next quarter with more expected good news. Have a nice day.
Thank you all for participation in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.